Now let's continue our teaching. We'll continue from the book of Genesis, the one we have been reading, Genesis chapter 26. Let's quickly read that one, the book of Genesis chapter 26. I hope you have been following. We have been explaining the fact that we are blessed. And if you are blessed, please give me a small amen there.
Amen.
All right. And your blessing, the Bible says that you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We need to emphasize this. Jesus said something to us. He said, "Do not lay up your treasure on the earth, where moths destroy and thieves do break in and steal." He said, "Sell all that you have," was telling his disciples, "and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." There is a concept called treasure in heaven. It is possible to be blessed, and the blessing, in fact, not just is possible. The way it is with Christians is that their blessings are stored in heaven. And when we say blessing is stored in heaven, I want you to understand that it's a tangible thing. It's not an imaginary thing. It's not let me feel good with myself thing. It is a matter of reality that blessings are stored in heaven. I know I said the other day that when Jesus said that the children of this age, they are wiser in the time in things of their own generation than the children of light. What he was saying is that you see the way people who don't have hope in God pursue aggressively saving up for their future. You read how to have your retirement saving plan. They tell you, Americans tell you about 401k. They plan their future. A man has a child today. He's beginning already. That is, the family, they have a son delivered today. The boy is just 0 days old. Do you understand? And they're already beginning to plan for how they have money to send him to university in 20 years' time. Okay? And how do they do it? They begin to put money aside. The people are working, they earn a certain amount of money every month. After paying their taxes and stuff like that, they keep a certain amount aside for what they call college education. They start saving up towards it. They are laying up the treasure on this earth. Now, because the only thing they have is the hope in this life, the only thing they have is that human reasoning, the ability to plan, they go after it aggressively. Every month, they don't miss putting in something into that, hoping that to be invested in the stock market and to be safe, safe, that's what they call it now, all those very safe funds and stuff like that, low-risk investments. So that when that boy becomes 20 years of age, when he's in his late teens, he can enter into Harvard and they won't have to sweat too much. He can enter into MIT, they won't sweat too much. Why are they going through all of this? All right? Because this is the only hope that they have. My emphasis is that they are very diligent. They are very diligent in it. And that's the way of the world. And let's not mince words about it. It is the way of the world. Jesus said it straight. Do not lay out treasure on the earth. Now, I'm going somewhere. He said, you see the way the people of the world are very diligent in the things that have to do with their generation. So the children of light, they don't do that. What was he saying? Instead, now, this true Christianity is very radical. Very, very radical. Very, very radical. What was he saying? He's saying that if your son is going to go to school in 15 years, 20 years time, don't worry about it. If I say this, you'll surprise some people. He said, don't put a dollar aside for it. He said, if you must put your money aside, put it in heaven. Now, this is where I'm going. For the believer, it is real. It is tangible. It's not imaginary. He said, you see, the aggression with which that fellow is putting money aside inside the college fund for his child, you use that same aggression to help the poor today. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Take out of your money on a regular basis and help the poor. Go to a primary school. Listen to me. Not primarily because of your child, but it must be a principle of your life. Go to a primary school and say, listen, let's donate desks to people. Say to them, you don't have desks in this school. Why do I have to wait for Americans to be raising money to come and give desks in a Nigerian primary school? Let us do it ourselves. You go there, donate desks, do it on a regular basis. Go to a university and say to your fellowship, maybe you know people there, if there's anybody here that don't have clothes, tell them not to worry. I can put some things aside on a regular basis for their handouts, for their clothing. Talking about my children's schools, their school in the future, he said, don't put money aside because as a law, moths will destroy. What is moth? Inflation will catch up. One Bernard Madoff is going to get up one day and steal all the money. I said to you, Christianity is very radical. And Christianity says, don't worry about tomorrow. He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I wanted to bring out an issue, all right? The fact that spiritual things are real. So Jesus said, sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And when he said that, he said, do not be afraid, little children. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What he was saying is that there is a cause for fear when you see the demands that Christianity will make on you. Following Christ Jesus will make certain demands. He was saying to them simply, don't worry about tomorrow. Whatever you have today, don't hold on to it tight. Give it out. Be free with it. So I was saying earlier, what should I do for my children's future? I should say to the earth, that is to the world, to the devils around, I should say to the angels, and most importantly, say to God, my trust is in God. So what do I do with the money I've laid up concerning my own children? It's simple. I just go and help other people's children today who don't have anything. And that's what Christianity is. If you go and check it, Jesus was very emphatic about helping people. Was very emphatic about it. I told you my testimony before. When I was going to get married, and many of you have done things like that. This is Africa. Wedding can be quite expensive, you know. If you are Americans, no, it's not difficult. You say, okay, look, nothing. Let's just go to registry. Tell your father. Let's be nice Christians. Tell your father. Just go there, do one or two things and go away. But Africa, it costs money. Now, so, this I told you then. So when I was getting married too, I was spending money. And this was the time when, as residents, now, pay was really, really poor. I mean, by every standard. I mean, were any like equivalent of like, it was good that time, $100 a month. That's how it was. Okay, maybe by 150. That was like, if you calculate it to dollars, that time, $150, $200, or the senior registrar, that was about all my salary, you know, that is, you convert it today. So you know what I'm talking about. It was about $200 in a month. That's, you're being generous with your conversion. So we had to, preparing for the wedding, every little kobo we had, you know, went towards the wedding. You know, everything. Then one day I was sharing the word of God, and I said that Paul was writing to Timothy, saying, instruct them that are rich in this world not to put their hope on the uncertainty of riches. He said, let them put their hope in God. He now said, this is how you know a man, a woman whose hope is not on the uncertainty of riches. The fellow is generous. He said, instruct them to be generous. In summary, then as I was finished sharing that word, I realized that I was talking to myself. I said, is that so? Is that so? What have I been doing? I've been putting my hope on the uncertainty of money that I did not even have. You know, if you have plenty, self, sure you can understand that it's a temptation. This was just pure foolishness. If you have plenty, it's temptation. When you don't have, it's foolishness. I was operating a combination of foolishness and temptation. I don't even know which one was my portion. As soon as that word came, I said, oh, is that what was happening? All right. And I told you before, that was the first time in my life I understood the meaning of the word worry. Worry is not, hey, I don't die. I'm dead. Oh, please, somebody rescue me. That one is called tantrum. That is not worry. A man that's worried can just, you won't know, he won't see anything. He's just going on. Fred, how far? Man, I'm fine. We thank God. But Fred is not fine. No. He's not fine. What was my own manifestation? Before then, sleeping was, that it was never a problem. That is, sleep normally gets to the bed before me. If I'm planning to sleep at 11 o'clock, sleep goes to lie down by 10:50. I say, Pastor, are you not coming? Before I hear that, the spirit of sleep has taken me over. This one, I will lie down and be waiting. I'll be waiting. Literally, I'll wait 2 hours to fall asleep. Sometimes up to 3 hours trying to fall asleep. And this happened for some days, maybe over 2 weeks or so. I can't remember the exact number of days, but some time. Then one day, I was about to fall asleep. I just said, this is what they call worry. I said, Jesus. So I've been worrying, I did not know. What was worrying? It's simple. He said, take no thought for the morrow. You start calculating how your life will be. And that's what I was doing. Okay, if I'm able to do this, at least I will spend hours calculating. There is a time for everything. This was a time for sleep. I allocated it to calculation, to mathematics. The time for sleep. That was when I realized I was worrying. And how I need to was worried. It took the sleep away. He said, maybe it's not worry, you're just thinking. Listen, my friend, normal thinking can't take sleep away. If I tell you, okay, when you get home now, think about how we'll move this ministry forward. You will fall asleep after 5 minutes. Once you hit the bed, you will fall asleep. If your classmates make you a chairman of one committee, that let's plan this, even though you are thinking about it, you still fall asleep. That one is not worried. That is thinking. This one, it took sleep away. That day I repented of it. And my sleep returned. This other one I was telling you about, the same season that the Lord just helped me. And what it was in effect, that you are putting your hope on the uncertainty of riches that you don't even have. The very next day, I said, let's rearrange this thing. I took some money, not much. I mean, it wasn't plenty. I went to church on the following Sunday. Pastor finished preaching. I said, sir, that was good word. I gave him an envelope. He didn't understand that this man was doing penance for his sins. It wasn't just offering to man of God. It was like, I'm repenting of my sins. What is the sin? The sin of putting my hope on the uncertainty of riches. A friend of mine was wedding a week before me. Of course, I knew it was in the kind of boat I was in. I don't know how the kind of storm his boat was on, but at least the same kind of boat. He wedded a week before I did. So I took some money in the envelope and just said, oh boy, you're spending money. Here is something to help you. I'm sure the guy wondered, this boy hit jackpot. This boy must have hit jackpot. Where did he get it from? No. He didn't. What happened was simple. He said, I rejoice at thy word. Like those who find great spoil or great treasure. I actually found money. It's just that it was the word of God that was revealed to me. That was what I did. Shared out the money until the money was not remaining again. And I went back to the normal flow. Say, money day, not day. Let's just be doing it one day at a time. And listen, and God solved the problem with his wisdom. Now let me just stop there. Why I give that illustration is talking about not laying up treasure for tomorrow. Jesus said that the children of God, the children of the kingdom, they have a principle that works for them. But the problem is that they are not as diligent in applying their principles as those of the world are diligent in applying theirs. So a man who is not born again, he's not a believer, he's in government circles. As long as you put him in office, do you understand? Or maybe he's a civil servant. As long as you put him in an office where he has power, instantly starts structuring things. And the master is commending that guy is wise. I don't know what I got to say. That this is the only thing he has. But those who are children of God, they don't use those principles. But the one you give them now, they won't use. They are not aggressively putting treasure into heaven. And let me tell you something about Christianity. About life. You have to enter something and enter it fully. Yoruba man says it like this. How do I say this in English? It's hard. These African proverbs, it's difficult to put in English. But just in case somebody who speaks Yoruba will hear this message. He says, pata pata la afoju. Kuno kuno la adete. Oju afoye foton e jani dale. Let me tell you what it means. You know, Jesus laid hands on a man. He was blind. After a while, he said, what do you see? I see men as trees. That's what Yoruba man calls the blindness that's not complete. That it causes quarrel. That if a man wants to be blind, please do it completely. Stop giving witness to things you only saw partially. You get what I'm saying? Because we will think you are seeing and say, come and give witness. Say, yes, I saw him. He's the one that did it. Meanwhile, you are not seeing well. So the proverb goes like this. That if a man wants to go blind, please do it completely. So let's know you are blind. So I won't be calling you. You get what I'm saying? That this half-blindness only leads to disagreement. That's the proverb. And Jesus said like this, because you are neither hot nor cold. That is, if you want to do this thing, do it fully. I dare to say, the major problem with Christianity is that people don't follow it completely. People try to be safe. Let's talk about my, in quote, children's future. We want to use prayer. Are you getting my point? We'll be using prayer and praying and praying. At the same time, we said, man, let's just be sure. So as not to, so as not to take chances. There are things, listen, I have to preach the truth completely. So it will offend a few people, but we have to say it because it's true. You understand? That's why I say to people, you can have your children anywhere. You understand my point? If you like, you want to go and have children, you go to Malawi. It's good. Angola, it's beautiful. Ghana, fine. Mali, if you like it. Egypt, UK, America, as you like it. But listen to this as a Christian. A statement you must never make is, I want to have my children in America to give them a chance in life. That is unbelief of the highest order. Once you do that, you have negated the power in the laying on of hands on their head. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Ah, you're not hearing it. You're afraid. It looks like I've shot some serious bullets. Like I told you, if it is that, yes, I want to see what American nurses look like, is the will of God. Let me even see how it is to have gas on your face when you are pushing. Let it not cross your mind. Did you hear what I said? Let it not cross your mind that you are offering your children a better tomorrow by virtue of the place where they are born. It's unbelief. What did I call it?
Unbelief.
What did I call it?
Unbelief.
I was saying to my mother that we were talking at home. In fact, I was just with her. She just grabbed her phone and began to. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm writing what you said. I said, truth is like this. When God opens your eye to a new level of truth, if you refuse to step into it, you are walking in sin persistently from that day. I don't know what I heard I said. If you don't know it is different, but the day he opens your eyes and you see that this is truth, every day you refuse to walk in it is called walking in iniquity. The problem, like I said to you, is that Christians don't follow the word of God completely. They want to play it safe. You can't play this thing safe and expect power from it. You can't. You can't. Oh. You can't. Why did I go into this? I was trying to explain that when you say something is in heaven, it's real. It's not a joke. If you cannot believe today that your treasure is in heaven, then don't believe. You are not sure that you will die and go there because you don't believe the place exists. Men are more afraid of hellfire. They are sure of that one. Than their desire for heaven. Because if indeed you believe that there is a heaven, that there is a throne of God there, and that is actually your home as a believer in Christ Jesus, then don't be afraid to put your treasure up there. Because it is real. They came to Jesus, and he said to them, sell all you have, give to the poor. Don't worry about it. Now, this is what I'm talking about. That the treasure that is in heaven is in a place where moth cannot destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. What does it mean by moth cannot destroy? Let me give you a practical way to explain it again. Remember, they said don't put your money in the bank. Inflation normally will spoil it. And you know, when they talk about that inflation, there's one book I read, One of them is called Creature from Jekyll Island. There are different ones, one of them. But reading all of these books, I realized something. One of the reasons why your money will reduce in value every day is because governments all over the world, they print the paper every day, thereby diluting the one that's already in circulation. Until about 2 months ago, was it last month, to come out of recession, America was printing almost $100 billion monthly, just print paper. You know, we used to laugh at Idi Amin Dada when we were young. And we didn't realize that they all did it. He only did his own to a level that he couldn't manage. They still do it till today. Americans will call it quantitative easing. $85 billion of printed money, no value to back it, nothing. Just print it and release it into the environment. Robert Kiyosaki said they do that because they can't tax you. If you tax you, they will lose election. So they won't tax you, but will collect the money by printing paper. So that's why I said in that last 51 things that you should know about money, I said it's a good means of exchange, but a very useless way of storing value. Cash is a very useless way of storing value. It's called moth destroys. So they now say to you, listen to this, that don't leave your money, as cash. Leave it as investments. So the idea is that when you invest in the stock market, as an example, which you and I know is also unreliable, but actually, on the long run, it's better than keeping it as cash. That's the point. That if you leave it at least, hopefully it will grow at the pace, all right, to overtake inflation. Hopefully. It doesn't always work. But that's the idea. Now, you now explain the meaning of treasure in heaven. This is how it is. If I keep treasure in heaven, if the real value of the money I kept in heaven is that I can feed 1,000 people for a year with it, all right? If the real value was like that. Now, this is how treasure in heaven is. If I come back in a million years' time, if I say, where is the money I stored in here? No matter the currency you are using at that time, no matter whether you are now using Bitcoin, you know, all this virtual currency, whatever it is that you are using, my money, when they now bring that treasure in heaven down to the earth, it will still be able to feed that 1,000 people for 1 year. That is the meaning of moth did not destroy. Do you get what I'm going to explain? That's how it is. It can't lose value. And this is the most interesting thing about treasure in heaven. That's just a simple way to explain it. But the most interesting thing about it is this. It knows how to adapt to the need at that time. I don't know whether I get the point. It doesn't. You can't say that because, you know, that's why I told you, forget this gospel of when you give money, God will give you money. It's not true. What did I say? It's not true. God is not stupid. God needs to be stupid to do things like that. My son comes to me as an example. Maybe he helps me to wash my car. And tomorrow he's going to school. I want to pay him back. I say, when you buy a car, I'll wash it back for you. No, think about it. When you buy a car, I'll wash it back. He said, that's the even a joke. Stop that. Buy me sneakers. I bet. Which one are you talking about? Who wants to? Do I have a car? By the time I have a car, will you be in a washing condition? Come on. You will have somebody else. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's not be silly. My God shall supply what?
All my needs.
Did you notice what? Notice the word? Needs. 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 Not my God shall repay the money I gave him. If I sow naira, I will reap naira. So people have started sowing dollar. I've seen it before. You want to go to church to give offering. First go to bread and change it into dollar. Say, because it's as I sow that I will reap. I know you are stupid, but God is not. Let's just, you know, are you getting my point? You that's doing that, I know you have an inability to reason properly, so we'll excuse you, but your God is not that silly. He knows if you give dollar, if he wants to give you Japanese yen, he can convert. He knows value. You can imagine that maybe Naira is exchanging for 160 to the dollar, and you lent me 160,000 naira. If I now give you $1,000, you say, no, it was naira I gave you. I said, okay, don't worry, when I have naira, I'll give you. I know so. But you don't do like that. You say, okay, where can I quickly change? I can't be spending dollars. Let me have it. You quickly rush over. Even when you want to buy online, this is they put your naira card. They will put conversion rate. Don't they have it there? You have not been buying online. Don't worry, when you go home, try it. They will tell you, once they know your location, where I rent to buy from, that guy is a naira spender. You have to deliberately click a button to change it back to US dollars. What am I going to say? God has sense. What did I say? He has sense. So forget it. That is when I give money, I will receive money. No, those are not spiritual things. Money is not a spiritual thing. It's a conveyor of a spiritual substance. He that shows mercy shall obtain what? Mercy. That's what the Bible says. Not he shall give money. He that gives money. But you can use money to show mercy. And when God wants to show you mercy back, if it is money, he will use money. If it's healing, he will use healing. If it's give him plenty children, he will give him. He knows what to use to show back. Let's not pretend like he does not reason. And that's the beautiful thing about treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven, when it's coming back to you, it knows how you need it. He won't say that it was money you brought here. So it's only money we can give back to you. Actually, what treasure in heaven gives you, the way treasure in heaven is described is called blessing. And the blessing makes rich. The blessing is not riches. But when it comes into a situation, it can bring wealth into the life. The blessing can bring abundance of children. It gives divine protection. That's a blessing. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. That is a blessing. The blessing, it brings every kind of natural blessing you can ever think about. What am I preaching again today? I want you to understand that it is real. I want you to understand that it is what?
Real.
It is real. It's not just we are feeling happy. The amount of, let me put it like this. The amount of credence, yes, that your heart gives to its reality is what determines how much it manifests in your life. The reason why Christians don't experience the power of God is because they are not sure it is there. The Lord said it straight. Don't lay up treasure on the earth. It means you should not. Listen to what I'm saying. When we're talking about laying up treasure, it's not talking about being, you know, I will explain it. There's a difference between being faithful as a steward and laying up treasure on the earth. There's a world of difference. And that's the mistake people make when they don't understand, when they say a man is the richest man in the world, all those kind of richest things. Just remove your mind from all of those things. The other day I was watching that film I told you about, not a documentary, all right, Inside Job. One man said that he's a banker in Iceland. He said it's very funny. They'll tell you one billionaire bought so-and-so for so-and-so millions of dollars. So what they don't tell you is that the man went to your bank, borrowed your money to buy it. He doesn't have the money. Most of the wealth that you calculate is nothing but responsibility that a man is carrying. It's just responsibility being carried by people. So I'm explaining something that there's a difference between being a steward, a good steward, and being one that is laying up treasure on the earth. If you see the story, when the Lord gave them, that's the minas, occupy with this until I come back. One came back and said, your mina has made 10 more. If the master had delayed the same length of time, he would have made 100. You understand what I'm saying? But that guy would have multiplied again 10 times. If he has the opportunity, you keep multiplying. That's a good steward. It's a good steward. A man who's laying up treasure on the earth said, when they said, look at your harvest, he said, so rest. You have much good laid in stock. Take your ease. That's one who is laying up treasure on the earth. Please, I'm saying all of this just to bring out some things to our mind again, but my emphasis is the fact that spiritual things are real. They are what? They are real. We are not joking. We are not joking. They are real. They are real. They are real. They are very real. If I say that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, it's not a joke. God gave me a gift long ago. The gift is understanding. I can't remember feeling inferior to anybody in the last 30 years. I can't remember. Maybe it happened before that time. Honestly, listen. If Warren Buffett walks in here now, you know Warren Buffett? I know he's not your personal friend, but you've heard of him. Yes. I will respect his age. He'll be interesting to talk to. Do you get my point? Yeah, I'll just see him as a man who has excelled in his own calling. God sees in my heart, the amount of dollar he can spend will not shake me one bit. I will give him the same amount of respect I will give a Nobel Prize winner in physics who's not worth the $100,000. Because he's a man who has excelled in his own field of calling. That's just the way it is. And I'm not joking about that. I'm not joking about that. I am not joking about that. I mean it literally, the way I've told it to you. That's just the way it is. So I want to emphasize that one to us again. Listen, what all these people talk about is about being responsible. And in this life, listen, you are blessed. That here, amen.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not joking about it. You know, I just need to keep saying this so people will know that it is really true. Bible says that you shall wet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate into the hearts of people. There is no curse in your life. You don't sound convinced. Let me prove it to you. Every handwriting that was written against you, he has washed it away by the power of his blood. He has nailed it to his cross. They said there was one powerful witch. Those days he placed a curse upon your family. Tell them it's a lie. What did I call it? Now let's understand what we mean by lies. You know, some people say, hey, Pastor, you haven't seen before. It is you that have not seen. I have seen. I have seen the word of God. I have looked into the heavens. And I'm telling you, every believer in Christ Jesus is free.
Amen. Amen.
I am not saying your cousins who are under that spell are not in trouble. They are in trouble. Better one. You see, no, I've told you before. When you want to preach to people, don't say, you are not coming to our church. Tell them the truth. Oh boy. Can you remember that curse that they said, that which placed over our family like 85 years ago? Say, yes, it's on your head. So me, I'm free. People are going. Satan said, we should come for deliverance. I'm not going. You see, you have to deliver those who are in bondage. I'm not in bondage. You won't contribute money? No. If you contribute money for such things, you are acknowledging bondage. And it is to you according to your faith. He said to them simply, that's what I've been telling you. Give your life to Christ. All those problems will be given over to the cross. And then you will become free. Anytime you hear me talk, I'm talking from the perspective of being a believer. A believer is free. Did I hear an amen? No, I don't mean like that. I mean you are free.
Amen.
It's not the generic, you know, like we don't know who you're talking about. It is you, I'm talking about you. You looking at me. I'm talking about you. Say, it's talking about me.
I am free.
I am free.
I am blessed.
I have a blessing in heaven. Now, back to where we started from. So we're talking about heaven. We're not saying, hey, praise the Lord. When I get to heaven, I'm going to stay in a mansion. But on the earth, you stay in a hut. If you like a hut on the earth, it is good. If you don't like it on the earth, please don't say that kind of nonsense that I have a mansion in heaven. When I get there, I will stay in there. Listen, when you know you have a mansion in heaven, you go and download some of it. I don't know what I get what I'm saying.
Yes.
You get into your hut at night and say, Lord, I just discovered that my house in heaven is a mansion. So we have to download small. Don't download the whole thing, though, because it will be day too expensive to maintain here for now. Just download for me a small bungalow first. Do you get my point? Listen, I started by saying it is real. What did I say?
It is real.
It is real. It is real. God will arrange events between you and him. Do you understand? You walk together. Next thing you know, that a portion of your treasure in heaven is brought down to the earth. I said, but I explained the fact that, listen, you can keep money in the bank. In the same manner, we can keep blessing in a bank called heaven. And it, you know, when you want, like maybe, you know, you want to pay for, maybe like now, I got a call from one of our radio stations yesterday, and they're just reminding us of when we're supposed to pay next. I said, okay, no problem. So we wrote a check, and we are giving them the check. They said, okay, they'll pick it up on Monday. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, the check is not written by, it's not written by faith. You know, like, as we're writing this check, there will be money there. There will be money. As they are going there, hallelujah, God will be sending. No. I am aware that there's money there. If they want money for 10 quarters and we feel like giving it to them, it is there. It's not like, let's join hands, Israel, begin to prophesy from that side, Bishop, take the other corner, and everybody begin to prophesy the money to come. The check was written knowing that EFCC cannot arrest us. I don't know whether I get my point. Now, let me ask you a question. Do I have to go to the bank and say, please, let me inspect the strong room. Where's our own portion of the strong room? Where they label Kingdom World Ministries? Let's count whether the money is up to the check we are giving. That is unbelief. I know, I'm aware. We have a statement that says it is there. You have a statement that says it is there.
Amen.
I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. So, now, why didn't I write them a check for 1 billion naira? Because it doesn't cost 1 billion naira for the next quarter to be on their radio station. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The check was written according to the need of the hour. Even though I have a blessing in heaven. Are you getting my point? It doesn't mean I just wake up in the morning and start drawing recklessly and trying to buy everything that is not okay for our season. No. But I'm saying to you, your treasure in heaven is real. Are you getting my point? It is real. You must be aware of it. Some people will say that, let me see whether I have given enough. Listen to me. It is not based on what you have given. It is based upon what Jesus did. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Are you saying I mustn't give as a Christian? No, I keep on saying, I can't say that. I cannot ever say that. Actually, like I was telling my testimony earlier, your refusal to give is what the problem is, not your giving. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. It's more of the refusal is a sign of unbelief. And unbelief will never allow the word of God to have effect in your life. every time you refuse to do something that you're supposed to do is because of unbelief. The Bible says they could not enter because of their what? Unbelief. Like I said in those 4 points about money, I said, listen to me. A Christian who is not a giver does not have faith. You hear what I said? A Christian who is not a giver does not have faith. And that is where the problem is. It is not that you have not sowed enough to be able to reap. Once you have faith in what Jesus did for you, you will reap. I hope you heard what I'm saying. The reason why you will not receive a manifestation of that blessing is because your faith is not on it. And one of the signs that your faith is not in that blessing, one of the signs is that you are not a generous person. I don't know whether you are connecting what I'm saying. That's why he said in that 2 Timothy chapter 5 there, he made it clear that tell them to put their faith in God. And you now see what is right after that. Instruct them to be generous. That is, their generosity is tied to their faith. Why God gives to you is because Jesus died for you. Please, let's get that clear. I don't want this one that we're always putting in our works. You know, I keep on saying this again and again. I think the major reason is because Christians have heard the opposite so much. They see unconsciously crawl into prayer. They are still laying up. Honey, how much are we giving? Do you think it's enough to bring down the car? So just to be sure, let's sow another seed. Okay. Let's postpone this prayer meeting until tomorrow. We'll break the fast tomorrow. So tomorrow morning, go and look for one man of God and one church and one orphanage to give to. Then in the evening, we'll pray. Then the wife will come back and say, as I was paying that money into the bank, my spirit just says it's not enough. Okay, the fast will go until next week. Let's sow more seeds every day. Why? They want to believe God for a new car or a house or they want to buy land. Listen to me. That is not Christianity. What did I say? It's not Christianity. When we walk into the place of prayer, we leave everything that we have done behind. Leave that one at the door. Once you get on your knees, the only plea is that I have come in the power of the blood of Jesus. Lord, the reason why you will give me this is because Jesus died so that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. So I have come to write a check, that's where I was, on my blessing. I have come to write my check on what? On my blessing, that is on my account. That account is an account of faith. It was credited by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The much of it I can take is that which I can stir up the faith in my heart to receive. I hope you are connected to what I'm saying. Don't forget, I started by saying that, look, it's real. It is real. But, for God, you know, because there are two sides to this thing. God doesn't only want to bless, he does not want to bless only you. He also wants to bless people through you. You must never forget that. And you see, there's something God doesn't just like. There are things God doesn't like to do. Let me explain it. He doesn't just like handing out money. You know, one difference between Jesus and other people is that, let me not mention any religion now, but there are some religions that just like almsgiving. Just give alms. Don't develop the people. Let them remain poor. As long as you can give them alms. Don't develop them. Just give them what? Alms. God allows almsgiving as a temporary measure or as a measure to help those he cannot help any other way anymore. It is never the thing he really likes. What God loves is to develop the people so much that they generate wealth. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Sure, sure.
God is the original man, person who said, don't just give a man a fish. Teach him how to fish. What Jesus came to do was to train people into being fishermen. Follow me and I will make you fishermen. Are you getting what I'm saying? I won't just leave you as receiving alms. That's why when the wilderness, he said this is a temporary measure. Things are rough. This was supposed to be just a matter of a few days. You guys decide you are going to be here for 40 years and I obliged you. So I will give you manna. But as soon as you leave this place, it's not the right thing. I don't like manna. I like people to know how to what? Sow. And reap. What I do is to give them rain, the early rain, the latter rain. I give them sun. I rebuke the devourer for their sake. What they call devourer? Locusts. You know, stuff like that. Pests. You know, weevils. Things that will destroy their crop. That's what I will do for them. Like I said to you last time, from the hills they can dig copper. They have to dig the copper. I will show them mining technology. I don't want to just hand things to them. I want them to know how to work. And some of the reasons why I like men like Henry Ford. Go and read this book, please, if you haven't. Henry Ford made it clear that, listen, certain people like him were created by God to help other people work. I have a write-up by one man, David Savant. He said, when cheap is expensive. The man said, as a young Christian, he liked to just give, you know, just do charity. After a while, I realized that charity like that is not good. He now looks at his charity in a different way. I know where to just give you money to eat, and I'll tell you, listen, this money is available, we ain't giving you. I will use it to put something that you can work and get money out of. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said once they went somewhere to some village to come and help some people, and they were there nailing their roofs, and those men were sitting down watching them, and they were feeling like good Christians. They brought the roofing sheet, brought the hammer, brought the nail, brought their manpower, and the people who they came to help were healthy people who sat down and was watching the Christian missionaries nail their roof. He said, now I won't do that anymore. I will bring the nail, I will bring the sheet, I will sit down, give you the hammer. Tell you, climb, my brother. Climb. It's your roof, not my own. Climb. I will teach you how to nail roofs. By the time I leave that place, I will have left 5 or 10 roofing specialists who will help other people nail their roofs. Please, I hope you're following my point. So that is why, listen to this, you and I work with God to create a channel through which His blessing flows into the earth. Did you hear what I said? Remember we said every seed has his own body. That God wants to pour a blessing through you. He said, you and I, let us build something on this earth through which the blessing will flow. Let me quickly say this one to you. Just like I said earlier. Testimonies are good, amen? Supernatural testimonies are good. I said, God, I have a mansion in heaven. Lord, begin to bring my bungalow onto the earth as the first installment of my mansion in heaven. And I was not standing there. So I was just standing there. I just realized that I just saw some men. I don't know whether they are angels or something. They just cleared land. Amen. And then they began to dig. And at the end of 1 week, I just saw my bungalow and they handed me the keys and they walked away. Praise the Lord. And that was exactly 1 month after I sowed the dangerous seed towards my bungalow. That is not Christianity. Do you hear what I said? You didn't hear what I said? You didn't catch it? You thought it really happened like that? Yes, we like such testimonies, but God hardly, rarely does such things. In fact, what He does is that every house is built by some man. A man has to build it. Listen to me, I said something earlier. That is what I called, what? The simplicity of divine intervention. You pray to God for that bungalow. There are different ways He can bring it. Different ways. It may take 6 months. It may take a year. It might even take 5 years. I don't know how long. But if you say, this is exactly what I want, God begins to arrange the events of your life so that the bungalow may not look to everybody now as a miracle. It just looks like a prosperity in your life. I don't know what I get around to say. So it looks like prosperity in your life. God begins to expand your business, increase your salary, increase your earning. Suddenly government comes and says, okay, we want to do something around this area. Let us do housing so that everybody who works in this area can buy and pay instrumentally. And then Roque & Co. allows you to connect with Federal Mortgage Bank. And then they give you the money after, give you the keys. After 6 months, okay, we'll be taking from salary bit by bit. Do you understand? Different ways. We can follow it, but people think because of that it is not divine, it is not supernatural. I'm telling you, it's still supernatural. In fact, that's how God works most of the time. Which is what our series is about right now. All this teaching is to let people know that building that connection for that spiritual blessing is our responsibility. Let me say to you again, and I'm not joking about it. When I want to joke, I'll laugh. You will know I'm joking. This one, even though I smile, it's not a joke. You looking at me, looking. Okay, there are two sides. There are those who are not looking, but they are listening to me. They will also be partakers. But you looking at me, at least 10 of people here today, looking at me, we create companies that will be worth billions and billions and scores of billions of naira.
Yeah.
You know, you see, I haven't tried to smile. Smile, not grief, follow me. I'm not joking. I am not joking. I am not joking. I am not joking. Let me tell you how it is. You know, you can pray and God will work a miracle. Amen? You know what I'm saying? But this is what I want to say to you today. You, the Bible says there's a gift called the working of miracles. Have you heard that before? Yes, the working of miracles. Spiritual things are interesting. You will be, don't say amen yet, I'll explain it later. You will be a worker of miracles. Just wait. You know why? Here's how it is. One day a man will arise, a young woman, and his name will be, let's take another name, his name will be Tony. Let's just take Tony. I'm not talking about you in case you are Tony, all right? And Tony will say, Father, I've heard the word that says everything, you know, I have it in heaven. Right now, I want to download a nice apartment onto the earth. And God will tap you, and say, work that miracle for that boy.
Amen.
Are you getting my point? There are different ways. He just walked to your office. I said, good morning, sir. I can do this. He said, you sure you can do it? Okay, we'll give you a 2-year contract. Meanwhile, the first thing we do, we want you to live around here and be comfortable. So just call one of your guys. Go and give him that new luxury apartment we just completed. That's where he will stay for the next 2 years. Did you see? He just worked a miracle in his life. Last month, he prayed. I don't know whether he got that. Last month, he prayed. And then God sent you into his life. You are now operating the gifts called working of what?
Yeah. Miracles.
Because what you did and you thought was simple, to him is a testimony in church.
Yeah.
He will go to church and say, praise the Lord. Brethren, praise the Lord. You know, last month, as pastor was preaching, you know, it's one pastor somewhere, you know, one young pastor, he was telling us that we should remember that we have a blessing. And I began to pray. And I asked God. And then, you know, then the Lord just led me. I went to this office. I went to do something for them. We struck a deal. We had a contract. I worked for them for the next 2 years in the first instance. And they said for me to be able to work with them, they are giving me this. Brethren, do you know it was better than what I even prayed for last month? And they shall praise the Lord. You know what? You just worked a miracle for somebody.
Amen.
I told the story of one young man that came to see me once. I wore that shirt for a very long time. He was on his way, he stopped somewhere and bought me 2 shirts. He was listening to me on radio. And I said, blessings are spiritual. He said, you know, the Holy Spirit has a way of breathing on things. How the Holy Spirit breathed on him, he just ran into his room, locked the door. He said to me, I don't know what he meant. He said, I entered into the realm of the Spirit. And I began to call my blessings to come. The next day, God woke his uncle up in Canada and said, call that boy, you will work a miracle in his life. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. His uncle did not know. He just said, how are you doing? I'm fine, uncle. What are you doing right now? I'm waiting for this time to get. He said, would you like to be a pilot? He said, yes. It's all right. You are going to come over to Canada. I'm going to register you in a pilot training school. How is that? The boy said, thank you very much, uncle. Then he didn't run to the airport. He ran to Enugu to come and greet me. He said, sir, it was while you were preaching that I connected with something. My emphasis for today, and my uncle became a worker of miracles. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what we are discussing. We are not talking about chopping. You will chop, you will be full. Amen?
Amen.
This is one scripture I love. God is able. Now, it's not just able, he will. He will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things. You will abound to every good work.
Amen.
I say you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
Listen, first of all, you will have all sufficiency. Lack is not your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lack is not your... Listen, it's not a prayer anymore. Don't even say amen. Just hear it and relax. Take it as information. When I say, just say, that's true. All right? As information. Lack is not your portion. That's true. Like you are used to it. It's not something you are prophesying that happened tomorrow. I am saying lack is not your portion.
That's true.
If I say you are blessed, just say, yeah, you know it.
I don't want this amen of, yeah, it will happen. No. We don't pass that level. We pass that level. You are blessed abundantly. Thank you. Oh, you are in the spirit. Yeah, you got it. You got it. Yes. Oh, blessed abundantly. What we are discussing now is how to walk with God so that you will be what? A blessing. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So that you will be a miracle for somebody. Let me tell you how your life will be. People will pray in the morning. And I know when God wants to appear, he has to enter your flesh for that day. I don't know what I said. We will pray in the morning. Say, Lord, this school fees, it will come. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to worry. As they are saying it, a child of God somewhere is crying to God. As saying, I refuse to worry. That day, he must jam you. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you must meet him for that day. That is your ministry in life.
Amen.
That's your ministry. You know what the Bible says? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with money. And he went about doing good and healing all that were afflicted by poverty. For God was with him. Is that not in your Bible?
Yeah.
It's in the scriptures. Part of the manifestation of power is money. That's why Solomon said, money answereth all things. That is, anything you want to do, if you have money, we'll get it done. That's what he was saying in that context. So when they say God anointed the know of Jesus Christ, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. This is your own. You know of Chinedu, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with cash. And he went around doing good and giving jobs to all those who were jobless.
Amen.
And helping all students who couldn't pay their fees.
Amen.
And helping widows take care of their children.
Amen.
For God was with him.
Amen.
And they will know it's the Holy Spirit. Because when they look at your background, it doesn't look like that. So that's what it means when they say the God anointed. Listen, you must know how to read the scriptures. It's very relevant. It's not every Christian that will wake up in the morning. Most will be following him because they want to hear teaching. Are you a teacher? Most will follow you to eat. They will follow you to walk. I don't know whether you get my point. There are different anointings. There are different anointings. See, everybody has gathered here this evening now. One day, everybody will gather around you. But why? You are interviewing people for work. Thank you. Thank you. You're in the spirit. Look, it's good. Say, when they want to gather to hear teaching, say, you call your secretary. Please, where is Kingdom Word? You know, there's one other brother that's operating like Kingdom Word now. Where is it? He said, okay, show them the address. Those who want to go and hear gospel, you also. People will gather around you. When they want to hear preaching, you send them somewhere else. When they want work, contract, job, scholarship, you get my point? Help, then they can stay. And as they gather around the man teaching, so will they gather around the man who's employing, and that is you. That's true. Yes, that's true. That is true. That is true. I said that is true. That's your life. Yes, it's true. You're a blessing. I said you're a blessing. Listen, that's what we are discussing. I don't know why I just felt like encouraging us again in that regard today, all right? But let me just read that scripture, and then we'll continue. Okay, I'll continue what I wanted to start with today, all right? So last time, I explained something. That, okay, we read from Genesis 26, right? Let's just read it again. Genesis 26, that's what we have been reading again and again. You know something happened? Bishop Israel and Yinka went for Wafbeck. So, of course, as usual, when they came back, they came with a lot of materials. So, please follow them and collect from them. All right? Those things they brought, they will be a blessing to you. So, this afternoon, I was doing some work. After a while, and I saw the folder where I kept some messages they gave to me. So, I just popped up, opened one of them. It happened to be a message by Pastor Kwaju preached, I think, one of the first days of January. But it's inside a plane. Something struck me. He used words that you would have thought he and I discussed. I didn't hear him preach it. I was hearing that thing for the very first time. He was telling people, he said, watch out, that miracles will occur in your life. Eh? This, and he was emphatic about the fact that it will be this year. Ah, I said amen. You see, it's the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you, get ready. What did I say?
Get ready.
Get ready.
Get ready. You are going to become so busy that it's now you must make a commitment. And some people, when they bless them small, Bible study, they say, are they cook? You know? May God not bless you to a level where you start falling for temptation, that it is a time that the word that brought you up to that level. All right? That's the word, time you now be sacrificing that word. I've heard all kinds of nonsense. God blesses you within it. And I say, I don't see a Bible study saying, no, Saturday evening is when I cook. I go to market. I wash clothes. I'm a child of God, amen. I know they beat people. Otherwise, I will have beaten some people for God on God's behalf. And no, really, really. It's called, you know, Paul said, let me commit them to the hand of Satan for destroying of the flesh. I will commit them to the hand of bank for the discipline of the flesh. So I should do it to some people. Let me tell something about the word of God. After he has lifted you up, don't think you can kick the support out. A lot of people try to do that. He said, we have been lifted. We don't need the support anymore. The word of God is like that. It has to continually support you. The way you get a result is how you sustain it. Why did I go into that? I just want to tell you ahead of time. You will make up your mind that, God, listen, this is what I'm going to do. Help me not to fail. Because if you get to a time, you'll be so blessed. You know, God had to command a Sabbath for the people of Israel. Because when they were going to the promised land, if they had continued walking, the land would not be flowing. So the temptation would have been to walk all the time. So you have to command the Sabbath for them. The Sabbath is so that you will remember the Lord thy God. That's the reason. What am I saying? When I say get ready, you have to tell yourself ahead of time, yes, I will manifest this blessing abundantly, but I must never forsake the gathering of the brethren to hear the word of God. Because the temptation will come. It will come. And for you, it's coming 2014.
Amen.
Yes. Oh, you know, last week I began to say something. I said, God's miracle will come into your life in the midst of your daily activity.
Amen.
Remember I said that?
Yeah.
So if you were not around last week, please go and get a message and listen to it. Let me not preach it all over again. And I said to you, make sure that in your mind, I said, print a business card in your mind. And what's on that card? What is it that you do on a regular basis that when people need that thing, it's your name that will come to their mind? Because while we are waiting for God, we are not sleeping to wait for God. We occupy. That's how we wait for him. We are busy doing something. He must meet us. When it comes to manifest that greatness, he must. He will meet us doing something. I wanted to continue developing that one today, all right? But things just went the way it went. And let me just close. Let me not keep us here, all right? For that, I told her, so I was listening to that message. Now, Pastor Paul, you said something. So he was preaching. Then suddenly he stopped. He said, look, he just tweeted something. Now, let him just repeat it. And then he'll continue his message. And he almost got stuck there. When I heard it, I said, praise the Lord. Because this was an expansion of exactly what I said last week. I'll read out to you. He said, five things you need to be successful in your career and work. Now listen to this. He said, five things you need to be successful in your career and work. He said, number one, get a good basic education. And I'll just expand it a bit, both using his own words and then using my own words. All right? You know, I've said it to you again and again. Education is not about certificate. It's about what? Being educated. Being able to communicate. Being able to understand things. One day I watched one film, drama, many years ago. One sailor wanted to hire some men to work with him on the boat. He said, how much will I pay? The guy said, eight coins. I don't know what, it was set in the, maybe about 500 years ago, something like that. So he said, how many coins? He said, count eight for me. The man said, one, two, three, eight. So that man said, no problem. So I'm going to give you eight coins. He brought four coins and said, one, two, three, eight. The man was happy. That his lack of basic education allowed him to defraud himself. Are you getting my point? Even if he had a big certificate, he still has changed himself for that day. Because as far as I was concerned, this is eight. And he got eight. And that man didn't have time for argument. He said, you want eight? All right, that's your eight. Go and do my work. That's what I'm talking about. Get a good basic education. That's Pastor Poggio's words now. Get a good basic education. This is what I discussed last week. Number two, he said, acquire skill in one particular thing. What I wanted to talk about today, I hope I can get into it next time,
is to help us understand again that life has two phases. I've described it in two different, messages using different words. But the words that come to my mind today are the phases of life are one, the phase of occupation, and then the phase of the Lord's coming. If you listen to other messages, I'm sure I've described the same thing using other words. What I mean by occupation? He said, occupy with this until I come. Now, that occupation is not always the place where you are going, but it is what God uses to take you to the place where you are going. For example, David had some skills, two of them. One, he was an excellent shepherd because of passion. Number two, he was skilled on the instrument. Those were the two things that led him to become king in Israel. When the anointing came upon him, the anointing rode upon those two things. How do I know? Number one, why did he fight Goliath? It was because while he was a shepherd, he fought the bear and fought the lion. So when he saw Goliath, he went after Goliath. Do you understand that? Number two, how did he get into the palace of Saul? It wasn't just because he defeated, Goliath. No. It was, first of all, he was skillful in the instrument. He was the only one that could calm the madness of the king. Was it going to be Mozart?
No.
Beethoven?
No.
Two-Face?
No.
Was it going to be king? But the skills he had as a little boy was what the anointing rode upon. What I'm going to bring out is, you see, I kind of what I want to talk about today, like I said, hopefully we'll continue from that point next time. The first phase of life, I've taught this again and again, several times on radio here, that is the stage in which you qualify for the next stage. And the day that the Lord will come, nobody knows. But one thing we do know is that he will come. And when he comes, he must not find you idle. Whatever he has given you must have been multiplied in your hands. Do you get the point? So that he will use that to decide how far your destiny will manifest. Any of those men could have said, here is your mina, it has made 10 more. And he will have put them in charge of 10 cities. Do you get what I'm going to explain? It is not, no, Christians think they should scheme to rule 10 cities. No, scheme, in quotes now, to multiply that which you have. That's it. Money was used in the Bible to explain it, but it's not just money. I'm a preacher. God is saying, Banky, listen, I am going to show up one day. And I will count how many sermons you have written, how many books you have finished, how many sermons you guys have uploaded. I don't know whether I get my point. I'm just as an illustration. I don't know exactly how he's going to judge me, but what I just try to do, like, you know, recently I found some things that were disturbing what I felt would be the main thing the Lord will judge. So I said, you, the Lord won't judge you. These are the things he will judge in my life. So stop disturbing my soul. Let me do the one that he will judge in my life. So look in that area. I'm not giving you details now. I may appear negligent and not serious. That this man doesn't have ambition, doesn't have goal. He's not. But I know when he shows up, he said, there was this mina I gave you. How many of it have you used? Do you get my point? Listen, God will come. That is, it will show up one day. Last time I gave the story of Ron Kenoly and T.D. Jakes. You know one of the things I've noticed? If you're a preacher, listen to this. A preacher's life, a teacher at least, and I think for every preacher too, goes again in stages. The first stage, you have to learn plenty. You know what I found out? When you become very busy as a preacher, learning by reading and listening to messages is one of the most difficult things to do. You start piling up on experience. So if you waste those early days running up and down, making money like everybody else, Ross, your ministry no go expand, you no go grow. You won't know why it just capped at a particular level. Why am I explaining this again? When you see things like acquire skill in one particular thing, is what I am saying. Now, Pastor, I didn't say this. I'm tying things together. What I'm saying is that in that first phase in which God is proving you faithful, I will discuss this again next time. He said, dwell in the land and cultivate
faithfulness. There must be something you are faithful about. Do you understand my point? That is something you do with skill. He said, do you see a man who is skillful in his business? He will stand before the king when he comes. I'm modifying that scripture now. You understand what I'm saying? He's skillful in his business. We're not saying that's what will take you to where you are going finally. We are saying that is what will make you successful in stage one, which will prepare you for the coming of the Lord to launch into stage two. Do you get the point? Point three he gave, he said, work hard with the skill acquired. The same thing we are saying. Five things he said you need to succeed. Get a good basic learning. He used the word education. Acquire skill in one particular thing. Number three is an extension of two. Work hard with the skill acquired. Number four, he said, have a right attitude towards people. I have a slightly different expression to use to modify. Well, let me just modify that a bit. I say, have the right attitude towards people and towards life. Towards people, very important. And I have a right mental attitude towards life, also very important. Because of time, we can't develop these things further. He now said, understand and respect constituted authority. Now, these are the five points, Pastor Kojugi. I heard it today. And because I was coming to speak on something along that line, I just wrote them down and said, I will quote them for you when I get here. Get some of these materials from the people here. We have them here, all right? It will be a blessing to you. There are over 100 messages total. You know, just pick it and say, listen, between the next 6 weeks, or just one message every day. You want to do 100 days fast? That's my recommendation for you. You can do it early in the morning. Everybody's going to watch mind you. Say, listen, let me mind my life. I'm not minding you. Do you understand my point? I'm minding my life. You go and sleep. Wake up early. 1 hour, 1.5 hours. Take the word of God and eat it. Eat it. Eat it. You know, let it penetrate into your agbari. Are you getting what I'm saying? When it enters, your life will not be the same again. Listen, if you listen to 100 messages like that in true Christian fasting, I'm telling you, when you come out, when you want to open the door, the devil will say, please, it was a mistake. I was passing here before. Do you get my point? All right, so we'll continue this next time. But so those are the 5 points. I didn't make them. I heard Pastor Paul, you say them today, and I just said, let me share them with you. Get a good basic learning. Acquire a skill. Work hard with that skill. Have a right attitude towards people and towards life, I added. And understand and respect constituted authority. I hope you are blessed today. I hope you are blessed today. Remember, you're already a blessing. That's true. You're already blessed, amen? Hunger is not your problem. You are a great man, you're a great woman. Now, what you are doing now is to bring forth a blessing into other people's lives. It's well with you in Jesus' name. Let's bow down heads and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just say, Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. The word is good. That word is good. That word is good.